All right. Well, our next speaker is Dr. Randall Price. I got to know him probably 20 years ago at the pre-trib study group. And he is, he doesn't want to claim the title because I've called him this before and he says, don't call me that, but I'm going to call him it anyway. He's really a scholar. He's a scholar in the area of prophecy, archaeology, eschatology, Middle East, the temple. In other words, if you want to hear fact rather than fiction, this is the guy to listen to. And he's going to do a talk now on globalism, God's way. Did you know God is a globalist? Yeah. God is a one-worlder.
Yeah.
It's called the Millennial Kingdom.
Amen.
And quite frankly, that's the only New World Order I'm interested in being involved in. So let's welcome Dr. Oh, and he's in a dangerous position too, because the only thing between you and lunch is him. So let's welcome Dr. Randall Price.
Yeah, but I told Andy that you would rather have spiritual food than physical food any day. So, all right. Yes, we're going to talk about globalism, and there is a positive and a negative. We're going to look at the negative first because we have a world that is out to, shall we say, from the humanistic point of view, build its own kingdom. But that is only a counterfeit kingdom. So I want to show you that and then show you how it fits with the real thing that God's doing. My purpose as a speaker, a minister, is always to comfort the afflicted, but also to afflict the comfortable. So I'll be sure if some of you feel uneasy about what's going on here, we need to do some spiritual accounting. So, all right, let's begin. People sit in bed at night. This was a cartoon I saw. And they think of all the things going on in the world. They watch the news, whatever source you get it, whether it's some kind of online social media news. The younger people do that. Then the other people find their news on the television or still some in the newspaper. All of that has headlines, has with an intention to sensationalize, because that's what they're in the business. It is entertainment field. But all those things grip us and we don't know what to do. What is happening in this world? What's going on? It's just a terrible thought. People say, what's the world coming to? And I say, well, don't worry about that. It's look who's coming to the world. That's the promise. Nevertheless, all these things vie for our attention and cause fear. It's a big world. Now, when we talk about globalism is something that basically deals with this whole world. It's a focus of trying to dominate everything that is. So just the official definition is that it's the act of extending an influence to all parts of the world. It involves the emergence of a single world market or deregulation resulting in internationalization. Globalism offers an answer to the world's financial, environmental, technological concerns, as well as social and religious differences among people and nations. So having said that, I might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing's wrong with that in the right hands. And if it's in our hands, it's a big problem. And history has shown us that. If you look at the whole history of this world, those who seek to conquer, and ultimately with a goal to conquer the world in some way, are all dictators, despots, kings, tyrants. History reveals that globalization comes on the heels of conquest, and the Bible declares that any time man attempts globalization, it results in the rule by wicked, ungodly empires. How could it be otherwise, since it is implemented by Satan, currently the god of this age, under whose influence the whole world lies. And that's what 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us. It says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have that adversary, and all men who have not come personally to faith in Christ are bound in that type of deception. So as we look at, and that was the passage it just gave, but you notice it tells us that there is a God of this world. We tend to minimize Satan sometimes, even make fun of him, which is a mistake, because he is, in terms of the angelic realm, the highest order of creation, and he has all of the intelligence of this world from the beginning of this world until now at his disposal. He knows exactly what he has, all the emissaries of the demonic world, the spiritual forces in high places, heavenly places, to bring this about. So in Satan's plan, globalism is the situation wherein he owns and controls the planet, demanding worship from its human inhabitants. And so you're either on one side or the other. You're in the kingdom of his dear son or in the kingdom of darkness. Your father is either God the Father or your father the devil. That's the only choices we have, and we're all in one of those or the other. Scripture tells us who are believers to put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, and notice this, is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the global forces. Your text will say against the world forces, but that's exactly what it is, the global forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we have this invasion, as it were, by aliens on this planet, seeking to conform it to the will of the one who sent them, which is Satan himself. Theodore Roosevelt put it this way, an interesting thing. He said, behind the ostensible government sits enthroned an invisible government, owing no allegiance and acknowledging no responsibility to the people. And that's that shadow government, that's that invisible hand, that's the, in years past, decades past, they hid in the shadows. You would refer to them as the Illuminati or some kind of strange Luciferian term. No one knew who they were. That's all changed, folks. They're right out there, proud as can be, to announce it in Davos, Switzerland, or wherever they may be, who they are and what their agenda is. Nothing is hidden anymore. So when we look at this invisible global government, fairly simple. Satan is at the height or the head of this. Evil spirits are his emissaries. And we have human accomplices, which are the global elitists and those who serve them. So these are the global forces of darkness, which encompass this world. We rarely see it. We feel it. We often wonder who's controlling this. We see people in places of authority who don't seem to have the capacity to carry out their rule. No names be named here. But you say, who's behind this? Others than those who we can't often see. The global elitists are an international or intergenerational cult that have existed throughout history with the single goal of controlling and centralizing all authority under one global leader. The World Economic Forum, meeting in Davos, Switzerland, is the annual site for globalist networking. And you can see that, and there's reports coming from it. But they are very proud, and many of the people who are considered stars in the economic world or in the technological world today are members of this. Well, I thought an easy way of handling this would be to chart it. So first, looking at globalism, man's way. I think charts are very good. They take their way of systematizing material. I have a chart book called Charts of Bible Prophecy, so the closest you'll get to some of this and being able to defend it is from a book like this, but puts it all together. So we're going to look at globalism man's way. Now, these are things that come right out of the agenda they've announced. First is the Great Reset. You've probably heard that term before. Let's get things all started over. We have to rebuild. We have to renew. Part of this is global depopulation. So when you look at this, the Great Reset is the urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis, which was perhaps introduced in order to do this, or at least to take advantage of the COVID-19 crisis to instill their type of overall control for our good, of course. To improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. So we have this in different forms, different leaders announcing the New World Order, Build Back Better. We've now have a chance to do it right. This has been part of the agenda that we've seen for the last 8 years or more in our government. And some of this is simply globalism right at its face. Klaus Schwab, who is well known as the executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, says the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, reset our world. Those are buzzwords you hear frequently. Biden, when he was president, said the quiet part out loud. He said, this crisis presents an opportunity. And opportunity for who? We saw it in Time magazine, the Great Reset. You know, remaking the world now on a global stage or global scale in order to implement an agenda that has heretofore not been possible. Depopulation is a part of this. You can't reset with all the folks around that have such a different opinion. So some of the members of the World Economic Forum have the goal of reducing the global human population from 7 billion to 100 million. That's a lot of folks gone. But they're folks that you didn't need anyway, you see, because they're just holding things back. This intentional depopulation is in harmony with the belief that humans are just material beings, no different or better than other matter. Environmental balance depends on reducing the human threat to nature. Those who think they are God and worship the world want depopulation so the right people can be in control. Margaret Sanger was part of this elitist group. She's the founder of Planned Parenthood. One of her statements is that all of the problems are the result of overbreeding among the working class. The most merciful thing that a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. Okay, we've got to get the right people in the right way. Ted Turner, founder of CNN, which I don't think anybody watches much anymore, but Ted said, a total world population of 250 to 300 million people, a 95% decline from present levels would be ideal. How do you get to that? We'll talk about that in just a minute. Jacques Cousteau, if you've ever, some of the older ones know him, the younger ones may not, but he was an oceanographer and a Frenchman, and he said, certainly an environmentalist, but he said in order to stabilize world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people per day. It's a horrible thing to say, but it's just as bad not to say it. And then someone else you might know, possibly a slip, but she said we must reduce the population. And the White House did a quick fix. They said, if you look at the text, she meant to say reduce pollution. There's a big difference between that, but anyway, all right. So how do you depopulate the planet? Well, there's different ways. First, natural means. Pandemic was one of those. You see different voices say that. Here is Michael Yerden saying, COVID vaccine, an integral part of the Great Reset. It seems increasingly likely that the jabs are part of a much larger set of interlocking projects, someone said. Whether or not, you know, we can debate the vaccine all day, but the point is that it was introduced without testing. It was introduced by command. It was introduced, forced on people, and people were lost jobs in the military and other places. This is something that exercises a type of control. If you look at China as an example, 400 million people were put in lockdown and quarantine. One study estimated 1.4 million deaths shortly after the zero COVID ended in China. Remember, they said we have zero COVID, but everybody was locked away and locked in their apartments so they couldn't get out. This is the way they handled that. Nearly 2 million excess deaths followed China's sudden end of COVID curbs. Here's another one. If unvaccinated people ordered to stay at home or face jail, you remember that? at times. Biden was talking about a war on the unvaccinated Americans. That was that social pressure that Bill talked about earlier. If you didn't do that, I went to the doctor, my wife and I, and he said, "Have you had your COVID shot?" I said, "We're not taking those." And he began to pressure us and say, and I was teaching at Liberty University at the time, he said, "You are killing people. You're killing people." And I said, "Well, you're a hematologist. I'm here to not to take that. But he wouldn't let us leave. He wanted to see, "You must do this." And it was a great deal of pressure applied. And this was, some of you experienced that. Another means was social means. Abortion is that way. You can reduce the population. We have been reducing the population. If you can see, since 1973, when Roe versus Wade made abortion on demand legal, there have been 63,459,081 abortions in the U.S., and this was a stat from 3 years ago, with 3,000 occurring daily and over 0.72 billion abortions worldwide. It just keeps on going. Think how many people would have been here, what they would have accomplished, how many people could have cured cancer, or who knows what, famous. I mean, it's unimaginable what we have lost as a result of losing these lives. But this is part of the agenda. We don't matter because we just matter. All right, the Wall Street Journal, upholding Roe versus Wade is supported by most Americans, they said. In your polls, you have people, because they put this in the rights issue. We have rights. What's that, being inside of you? They have no rights? All of a sudden, whose rights? Our third way is simply economic means. And we see this and we fear this probably more because of the idea of a recession, the idea of economic collapse. We've seen the economy being ruined on a global scale. And that's essential on the route to the Great Reset. Joseph Mercola said, this is to cause more terror, push up energy prices, terrify everyone. Of course, I have California's energy gas prices there, and that's from several years ago. So, this is, we fear this. We see it as we try to go to the grocery store. The aim of this, as Carol quickly said, is nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. All right, so, you're going to give up anything to have the pleasures or the normalcy or the simple things you're used to. It's what Francis Schaeffer used to say, people will give up any type of personal freedom in order to have a little bit of security. That's the kind of thing that's here. So we've seen this. There's another means, and that's political means, crisis and war. If a pandemic doesn't take enough lives, and abortion doesn't take lives, and recession doesn't move things in the direction, there's always crises and war. We talk about crisis in human existence. Martin Buber put it this way, of course, from the 70s, he said this. For the last three decades, we have felt that we were living in the initial phases of the greatest crisis humanity has ever known. It grows increasingly clear to us that the tremendous happenings of the past years, too, can be understood only as symptoms of this crisis. It is not merely the crisis of one economic and social system being superseded by another, more or less ready to take its place. Rather, all systems, old and new, are equally involved in the crisis. What is in question, therefore, is nothing less than man's whole existence in the world. And that's what crises are aiming for. Do we have a right to exist, and can we exist? I just did a little survey of some of the crises that existed in the former administration. We had the COVID crisis, the border crisis, the energy crisis, the inflation crisis, the Russian-Ukraine crisis, the Iran nuclear agreement crisis, and the China-Taiwan crisis. And some of those, of course, still are with us, and more coming. And we don't even have on there the Israeli-Hamas and Middle East crisis. So all these things are there, aiming to destabilize and ultimately depopulate. Jerzy Mercola again said, all we need is war. He said, the Great Reset is a globalist plan that is moving forward at lightning speed. The COVID-19 pandemic was part and parcel of that plan, but to really fulfill the technocrats' ambitions, a war of some kind is needed. They need chaos, mass casualties, financial chaos, in order to create the desperation necessary for people to give up their freedoms and give in to tyrannical control. And of course, you will do that. You stayed home, you distanced 6 feet, you put on masks, you couldn't even go visit your ailing relatives, some who were dying, all that because it was good for you. It was the best thing, kept you safe. And now, Putin's invasion of Ukraine risks global stability. You see the headlines that are there, or some like this. Well, global war on the Jews. I'm not sure why it won't stay there, but it's the global war on the Jews. So as Olivier was saying, anti-Semitism is at the highest it's ever been, I think, in history. Even with, we talk about the Nazi situation, but pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine demonstrators worldwide against the state of Israel. You've all seen it. You know it came also on our college campuses. And with people citing the phrase, Allahu Akbar, great is Allah. It's not simply a political thing. Notice this is a religious statement, and it's even more than that. This is Washington, D.C., with people swarming there. Here we have the United Kingdom, or we had the United Kingdom. There it is. Okay. Not sure why my effects are doing that, but there you see it, globalizing. All right. And also some of the flyers that you pick up. Here, this was a statement made at one of the universities, George Washington University, anarchists call for the beheading of school administrators. Where'd they get that idea? Amid anti-Israel encampment, or fight for worldwide intifada. That's a call for global conquest in the name of Islam. Why is that doing that? Wider war in the Middle East. Quick. Okay. Global consequences coming from that. Here, Israel is likely to attack Iranian nuclear facilities in the next 6 months. Part of that is because Iran is weakened right now because of the loss of their help from Syria, Lebanon, and Turkey's coming to fill that gap, of course. But the issue here is that if there's a weakness or a time that they can hit these facilities, this would be it. They have the Trump administration saying they will back up anything Israel needs to do for its security, so that could happen. Iran's president dismisses potential Israeli strike, threatens to build thousands of new facilities. This is all, of course, posturing, the saving face, making it clear that they'll do something they probably can't do. Also, we have the statements, okay, this is a clash of civilizations. And so a clash of civilizations means just that, that we have even the ancient world and the modern world clashing and being replaced by something else. The globalist mandate is the world must collapse by 2030. And one of their target dates is 2025. So this is part of what we see them thinking of. And then we have an America First agenda. And that right now is one of the things slowing this down. Because rather than having globalization, everyone working together, we have this idea of sovereignty of nations, each having their own place and even destiny. So that is a step back from their plan. And I'll show you at the end when Donald Trump addressed Davos recently, and you can see them all squirming in their seats. But all right. So the second thing here on our chart from the Great Reset, it moves now to what we would call climate change. You've all heard of climate change. What does that mean? Well, following the Great Reset, we have to have something that is global, massive, environmental, that compels all of us to submit, and that is climate change. With climate change comes global warming. They don't use global warming anymore, they just say climate change, but biometric conformity to things, nonconformity, lockdown. That's what happens if you don't conform. All this is part of the terminology they use. Now, Time magazine says climate is everything, right? The whole world is affected by climate, and it's very important. When you look at this idea of climate change and global warming, on the one hand, you can just see how the images will affect you. As you see things burned up, or you see polar bears floating on a little bit of ice cube or something like this, you know. This is what is out there, that we have very little time left. One Earth, one chance. Within 10 years, 12 years, whatever, where the world will be over, we have to do something now. This is the idea of the doomsday clock. Climate change, 12 years to save the Earth. So people get very passionate about this because this Earth is all they have. And they believe that if they don't save it, there's nothing left. This is their great agenda. Time magazine says, be worried, be very worried. And again, the polar bear, all right? And polar bears can live in places that aren't cold, by the way. I mean, it doesn't matter. Okay, the Green New Deal, or the Green Initiative, we'll talk about shortly, but climate justice. Skeptics will be punished. This is the idea that if you don't fall in with this, you're in trouble. Now, there's a new thing we could consider. Some of you, it's still debatable, but weather warfare. Now, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the 36th President of the United States, in a speech one time said, he who controls the weather will control the world. And we have this picture of geoengineering. There was a movie not too long ago called Geostorm. And in Geostorm, they already had the geoengineering working out. They had satellites that could be programmed to manipulate the weather at different places for our benefit. Good thing. But what if it wasn't? What if there are those who are actually doing things to control the weather for their own agenda? So there are those who talk about toxic skies and global dimming. Again, there's good evidence for this, but there are people who still push back on it. And I'm not sure exactly where I stand, but I want to present that. They're saying there's a decrease in the amount of sunlight reaching the Earth, and that's believed to be caused by pollution in the atmosphere, but it's pollution that's introduced. People who look at this talk about bringing about our own weather, and that is a means of controlling things. I mean, imagine, you know, we had some severe cold, and they call it the polar vortex, that came here, came where I was too, up in Virginia. We hadn't seen snow in 3 years. All of a sudden, we've seen tons of snow in the last number of months. What is that coming from? Is that just unusual? Some say, no, it's engineered. Other countries have thought that. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who was at one time the president of Iran, he said that Europe is stealing Iran's rain, or that Iran drought was part of a soft war. So some of these other countries have actually believed that this geoengineering is happening. And some say everybody's doing it, using electromagnetic fields and microwave transmission to bring this stuff about. You see planes with their various jet emissions, which are not simply, you know, air trails or something more, it's claimed. Again, I say this is still controversial, but there are people who say this is part of the globalist agenda to control our weather as well. So I'm simply saying Russia spent millions on cloud seeding tech to prevent rain on its public holidays. So people are using things like this where it's necessary. We've also seeded things to produce what we need. So the technology existed for a long time. Question is, how is it being implemented and who's doing it? So we have the Great Reset. We have climate change. The next thing on this to move us in the direction of this planetary agenda is the idea of the Green Initiative, which involves deplatforming people and ideas and institutions and canceling culture. The culture, for instance, a Judeo-Christian culture, which stands in the way of many of their ideas. So along with this Green Initiative, you have a new world order, a world king, global citizenship, peaceable kingdom, they call it. social mandates, United biometric indicator that's there, global earth ethic, life extension, all of these things. We've seen this kind of thing introduced where you see an unchecked, unelected official, for the first time, this was, of course, Fauci, be able to come on television and tell you how you were to live your life, what you could wear, what you couldn't wear, where you could go, where you couldn't go, when you could do it, all of these things. And all of a sudden, controlling the lives of every person and their children, governing their medical behavior, shutting down their jobs, schools, churches, forcing compliance to unchallenged mandates, no matter their age or social status, and further, deny their freedom to go to public places or buy food or other commodities. No one on earth has ever had this power. He created worldwide fear and required unquestionable compliance. We allowed that. Okay, I don't know if anybody, you know, just everybody was lockstep, including President Trump at the time, because he didn't know better. Something had to be done. That's what a crisis will create. So the globalists are taking over the food system, and it's part of their plan to control you. If you think about this, look at this. Six corporations control almost everything that we watch, hear, and read. Okay, those companies. So you think there's all these brands, but they're all under these major corporations that control things. When we talk about tracking, here at Davos, they introduced the idea of the carbon footprint tracker, a new tech that will track what you eat and where you travel. Everything is all possible to be done. So the government will know your whereabouts, your habits at all times, control where you're allowed to travel, ultimately control your bank accounts and purchases. They'll know every single place you spend your money. This is the idea of a digital identity. And again, this sounds good. Wouldn't it be good if you had all of these things under one easy to reference access portal? I mean, everything here. And yes, it would be if it were not for the fact that the people who control it don't have your best interest in mind. They have something else in mind. So this is the idea. Last night, Andy mentioned about the idea of from Revelation about receiving the mark of the beast. The idea is a mark. It's like a tattoo. It's something on the skin. And so they have a technology that can do that, to put these quantum digital dot tattoos that will have all this information, everything, every place you go, everything you do, and they'll track what you buy at the grocery store, which, of course, you don't have to pay for anymore. You just walk in, get what you want, walk out, but it's charged, you know, to your account. And you can imagine, if you're not in compliance, what that means. It means you can't walk out. You can't even walk in. You're not going to be able to buy anything or sell anything. And that has some ominous implications. So I looked at this when I was teaching at Liberty. I'd get this on my computer regularly. Someone was scanning everything I did to be sure that my emails and everything, you know, it talks about your internal contacts make up this, explore your habits. You have this many quiet days. It's kind of an invasion of privacy. Why can't I do what I want to? Well, no, I'm hooked to a system, and that system tracked everything I did. Now, it's within a Christian community, so I feel safe. But nevertheless, that's the technology that's there. We can be vaxxed by machines, tracked by machines. Humanity can be augmented one cell at a time. And that moves us a little closer to the next step we're going to. Once you get this level of control, why not just keep it forever? That will involve the life extension. So what we have now is the metaverse. Have you heard of the metaverse? Metaverse is one-ism utopia, new reality, synergy, event horizon, convergence, singularity. These are all terms that are used. And we talk about a world man or human solidarity. We talk also about post-humanism and transhumanism. In other words, we could be better. We don't have to wait for evolution to get us there. We can do that ourselves. The metaverse is simply a technological term for a network of 3D virtual worlds focused on social connection. And secular futurism, it describes an iteration of the internet as a single universal virtual world. Achieving human integration into the metaverse is the agenda of the globally oriented technologies and their transhuman projects. In other words, we're all connected. We can be all connected. We can all think the same thing. Everyone can know your thoughts. You can know their thoughts. But you're going to be a very different person. And Klaus Schwab puts it this way: our goal is not to change what man does, but to change what man is. So fundamentally, we're going to be changed. One of the leaders in this is Yuval Noah Harari. He is an Israeli. He is gay. He is an atheist. He's one of Klaus Schwab's top advisors. He says, we're all in the process of becoming gods, and we need some type of global loyalty. His book, Homo Deus, Man is God, is his idea. Listen to this quote by him. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. In the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. Okay, so we won't be what we were. And this, if you look at the idea of reimagining man, Scientific American extols this, how, you know, Darwin's theory survives, thrives, and reshapes the world. But the future of human evolution, if you look at it, and here's this quote, the ultimate purpose of evolution is not the evolution of physical beings, but of intelligence until it becomes self-existing without a gross body. Technology is the means to advance this evolution so that transhumanism can be achieved. And what is transhumanism? Well, Ray Kurzweil says, our desire is to create a post-human species. So the idea of being created in God's image doesn't exist, because God doesn't exist to these people. We don't create us in our own image, we create in a better image. So he says, does God exist? I would say, not yet. Okay, that would be us. And so, you know, this godlike AI that could destroy the human race is nearly here. And we're not in control. Machine learning expert warns. I did this myself. AI, I am God. You know, I don't know. But we've had already AI rewrite the Bible. You can get an AI written Bible. You can have the AI Jesus talk to you and comfort you out there. Almost every article I'm getting nowadays is written by an AI assistant. They do a good job, but, you know, Can you check every source they use? Do you know what they're doing? No. I ask it to write an article I was doing on the archaeology of Jericho, because I was about to get into all the research, and I had this immense thing with all the sources, everything come out. But I said, I don't have time to read this to make sure it's right, you know, because people depend on me to give them that information, to discern what's out there. It's amazing what is available. And I'll show you in the presentation this afternoon how I ask different AI platforms, the designer bots, to create me an image of Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives looking at the Temple Mount. And you'll be amazed to see what I didn't get, all right? All right, Elon Musk, whatever you think of Elon, he says, this AI with its move to possibly singularity, which you have the AI become sentient in some way and step into this and then merge with humanity, has the potential for civilizational destruction. Now, what's concerning is that AI is good in the right hands with the right purpose, but it's bad with the wrong people controlling it. The United States is in a race for control of society. Whoever wins the development race and secures AI as a control for society win control of the world. This is clearly paving the way for the Antichrist to control society, but how soon that might occur will depend on whose technology succeeds and what their ideology might be. Our president heard that the tech oligarchs had this Star Wars technology that they could They could find cures for cancer. They could find diseases through AI. That's great. Let's get behind that. Let's be the front runners in developing this. Yes, but where will that lead us? Where is that going to go? As it's been said, this Project Stargate that Trump is investing $500 billion in, to boost the power of artificial intelligence is there, and others want to use this to push all kind of global agendas. It's a question, AI versus AI. Who has the white hat? Hope Trump does. Hope that we can take control of this, but you never know. I don't know if you've seen The Giant. Some of you can Google it. Look at this. They made this huge, I think it's 10 stories high, I can't remember how, 10 stories tall. It's got, it's a moving statue. The skin has programmable LED pixels that can take the form of any person and can sing and speak. So it tours around, and so whoever you want it to be, it can be, and it can perform. And this is the idea of this giant, high-tech, moving statue going global. And some of the comments about this, of course, Revelation 13:15 says, it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Don't know exactly how to interpret that, but if we interpret it literally, then some technology has to exist to make that possible, and that technology now exists, and that's the point. I like what James Pula said, because he says this is not just about the physical, it's about the spiritual, it always is. And he says, in this digital civil war, who are we and why are we here? These ultimate questions have theological answers to the advent of digital technology that is returning people to the perception, the understanding, the sensibility that reality is fundamentally theological. You've got to be worshiping something. You have to have a theology. And what's it going to be? And that is why we're in a state of a spiritual war. We have a digital civil war going on with people who have deep-seated differences about the meaning of life. And so there is a conflict over technology, but also for the control of our souls. Because remember, behind all this agenda is not just human global elitist, it's a satanic agenda that is trying to get our souls. So spiritual defection. I just add some of these things. The Barna poll has explained that 52% of evangelicals do not have a biblical worldview. This is evangelicals, mind you, nor believe the Bible is inerrant word of God. Seminary professors teach the Bible is to be read through cultural filters, resulting in many Christian leaders' ethics being governed by anti-Christian social norms. This leads Christians to deconstructing their faith, and we have this going on all the time. Because if you undermine one part of this, Jesus is not God, well, then I don't have to do what he says. Or the Bible is not inerrant. It has flaws. Well, then I don't have to believe everything it says. And if that's the case, why am I wasting my time? And so people begin to deconstruct bit by bit. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, where men are forbidden to honor a king, they will honor millionaires, athletes, or film stars instead, even famous prostitutes or gangsters. For spiritual nature, like bodily nature, will be served. Deny it food, and it will gobble poison. That's what we've seen. So across the board, we have this decline of Christianity, deconstructing faith, leaving the fold, people saying, you lost me, on and on. It used to be Fundamentalist Anonymous. Now it's taken these other turns. But these are all testimonies, and you have leading pastors who have left the fold, and musicians, and all kinds of people who people looked up to and now are deconstructed. Bob Unruh in a survey put it this way, the American Worldview Inventory in 2022, conducted by Barna, simply said that the millennials, for the most part, don't possess a biblical worldview. Parents of preteens possess a worldview known as syncretism, a blending of multiple worldviews in which no single life philosophy is dominant. And only a sparse 2% actually possess a biblical worldview. And it seems that most preteen parents are unaware or certainly unfazed by the contradiction between calling themselves Christian but living in ways that repudiate the teachings and principles in the Bible. So you see that. You see people, oh, I'm a Christian. There's nothing Christian about them, you know, because they don't hold to the authority of Scripture and it doesn't control everything in their life. So we can go through a lot of these, but the idea, if parents are in that, come into that place, what will their next generation be? What are they teaching their children? Okay. Not to absolutely trust God and to follow His Son and to obey His Word. Those things are simply not part of it. So we have all of these things happening. And that's part of cancel culture. Luke 21 says you'll be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you'll be hated by all on account of my name. And you can imagine, I mean, I can say during the COVID thing, there are people who were pointing fingers at people right and left, you know, even within their own families, and it was causing a distance and separation. This is the kind of thing that can happen. What happens when a culture abandons Scripture? Well, it loses its biblical worldview, and then it loses its moral foundation, and finally it invites God's judgment, because God is in control of His world, and He's not going to let things go on forever. Well, that was the agenda of global humanist, and you could see how that unfolded. You saw that chart, but if it sounded vaguely familiar to you as I laid that chart out, that's because all this is in our Bible already. So let's go back to this globalist chart, and let's look at globalism God's way, because frankly, you'll see that everything that you just heard is an attempt by Satan to counterfeit what God has already said He will do. All right, so if we look at this, we talk about the Great Reset. What's the Great Reset? The rapture of the church. That's a Great Reset that's coming, friends, and it will, and it's not only a Great Reset, it's going to result in depopulation. All right. What 1 Corinthians 15 said, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, we shall all be changed. By the way, as I get to that, that also take care of our transhumanism. But all right. Anyway, but you look at these things. Right now, it's a whole other lecture, but it deals with the alien idea and what's going on. First off, just realize that fallen angels, like angels, can change their form. You saw in Genesis 18, God Himself and angels come down, and they took human form, and they ate. All right, they could leave behind things, too, if they wanted to. As a result, angels, fallen angels, can take forms. They can take the form of a flying disc. They can take form of a disc under the water. They can, all kind of things are possible for them. It's all part of a great deception. Now, it may be when we unlock all these things, we'll know more. But I can tell you over and over again, the people who've looked into this the deepest say this is all spiritual. This is all the result of a great deception and an invasion that's coming. So, again, all of you know the rapture depopulates. There's always an explanation for that on the human scale, and it could be something like this. Where did they go? Right. NASA hired 24 theologians to examine the implications of contact with aliens. It says, over the years, people have begun to believe in the possibility of extraterrestrial life. Earlier this year, a Pew Research study found that 2/3 of Americans believe that aliens exist, with more younger Americans holding to that belief and holding to it as a hope, may I say. The whole idea of our benevolent alien superintelligence coming to straighten everything out for us. The connection between religion and belief and intelligent life on other planets has grown in recent years. Cambridge religious scholar Andrew Davidson believes that a large number of people would turn to their religious traditions for guidance if such contact were to occur. Well, good. What would they learn there? Okay. We would learn that these are beings, because there are aliens inhabiting the second heavens. and probably have some access to the third heavens, and they could come down here. So we'll see. All right, so the rapture takes the place of the Great Reset. What about climate change? Well, I can tell you, if you look at the tribulation, that's going to bring about good climate change. And may I say global warming too, okay? So if we look at the real global change that's coming, Revelation, Matthew first says there'll be a great tribulation. It is not like that which has occurred from the beginning of the world nor ever shall. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. False Christs, false prophets will arise as so as to mislead. And then Revelation 13:12 says the purpose of that is to make all of those who dwell on the earth, that's a global thing, who dwell in it to worship the beast or the Antichrist. So as you look at what the scripture tells us, it says a third of the earth was burned up, and I'm not sure what happened here, but also a third of the trees and a third of the grass, or seas maybe, is all burned up. And the picture here is of a significant global warming as God's wrath descends upon earth. And then authority given so that everyone will receive a mark, and that's part of the bioconformity that comes with this idea of the climate change, conforming to fit in with this agenda. Something interesting, and I've been reading on this for a couple of years now, and it's very hard to make less of it than what you're going to see. But in Switzerland, in CERN, we have the Hadron Collider. This is the whole scope of it that you're seeing here. Here is something on ABC News. It was basically that they have this particle accelerator and believe they have found the subatomic particle that gives mass to everything in the universe, known as the God particle. So there have been even books written on this. But what they're to create that God particle to get to this, the Hadron Collider, known as CERN, is the world's largest, most powerful particle accelerator and the largest machine man has ever made. 17 miles long, buried 574 feet below the Earth's surface, it smashes subatomic particles together at or close to the speed of light in order to break them apart and open a door to something. They call it an alternate universe. What's interesting is what you see at CERN. You see the insignia for CERN has intertwined this 666. You see Shiva, who is the Hindu deity of death and destruction, a big statue on the property. More than that, here's the director of research. He says, out of this door we open, something might come, or we might send something through it. So this is this idea of interdimensional experience. And when they have this thing going over, this is CERN, this is a picture of the clouds and what's happening whenever this collider is working. Now, is CERN trying to bring entities through a dimensional doorway? Well, hard to say, but Revelation 9 talks about the pit and the demons will come up out of that pit someday. When you look at what they're doing, this is part of their opening ceremony. They show people wearing these goat head, dancing around. They created this film, a documentary called Symmetry, in which they have someone reaching through this portal, and when they come out, they look like this. Okay, this is their own documentary. So I don't know what to make. I said, I can't make less of it than what they're showing. I'm not sure what more to say. But this is part of this globalist agenda as well. So the tribulation and demonic invasion, we have that spelled out. And it says that they have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, the name Apollyon, which all has the idea of destroyer, just like Shiva, by the way. All right, we've come through the Great Reset. We've come through now the idea of the tribulation. But now we have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And with that, we now will deplatform the existing culture, because when we come clearly to Daniel, he says that's going to happen, and we have the cancel culture of the world itself. So let's just look at some takeaways as we move into this area. First, God's global future for believers is an amazing new world of fulfillment and blessing within Christ's earthly kingdom. That's what's going on here. So Daniel tells us that God will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, and the kingdom will not be left for another. And it will crush and put an end to all these other kingdoms. And that's the deplatforming and the canceling of culture of this world system. And then Romans has told us that this is something we ought to all long for. The whole longing of creation is going back to the Garden of Eden when God created a perfect world and men and women in immortal states to live in it and in fellowship with Him. And the intrusion of sin through the evil one has, you know, derailed that for the time being. But the goal of God has always been to create a kingdom on this earth where He could reign with man and man would be what they were intended to be. And so the creation will be set free from its slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's God's plan. So that's the millennial kingdom and the reign of Christ and His saints. It tells us the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. It's not in a different place, it's in this place, and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. That's why you see this great satanic counterfeit, because there is a God of this world that wants to reign in this world, but He is not going to reign in this world. God Himself, who came into this world and became one of us, is coming back to reestablish that rule, and He'll deplatform Satan himself. So this is what we read in Psalms 2, His rule on earth. He will be on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. He will be over all the earth. That's clearly a global agenda. This is all King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we read what it will mean for us. We will have fallen man restored to participate in this global government, global rule for God's glory. It was lost in Eden. It'll be restored in the millennial kingdom. And of course, the best book on that is Andy Wood's book on the King. What's the title? The Coming Kingdom, right. Second Peter tells us, according to his promise, we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth. So beyond even the millennial kingdom, we have an eternal perspective, and it's also on this earth, a global world. Everything will be made new. All these things are part of God's plan. A perfect physical dwelling, the new Jerusalem on earth, will be physically resurrected, will have bodies that are resurrection bodies. And what are those? That's transhumanism. We'll have exactly what they said, but God will give it. And so here's a picture of that, okay? These are our promised transhuman bodies. Our earthly ones die. They're broken. They're weak. They're natural. But the heavenly bodies will live forever and be in glory and have strength and be spiritual. All these things, perfect bodies, no gray hair, no cholesterol buildup, cancer or heart disease, no more wrinkles on the face, no fatigue or weakness. All these things are part of what's, and no allergies. All this is promised. Okay? Blessed activities as well. Not playing harps on clouds, but we won't have purposeless inactivity. There's a great new world that we all will be part of, praising and worshiping God, but also given work. Just as in the garden, man was created to work purposefully. He'll be doing that in the future as well. And then forever bodies, no more death or mourning. You can eat whatever you want to, all right? Not certainly as much as you want to, because you will be spiritual. You won't do that. We have all these forever bodies, no more death, no more mourning. And the most wonderful thing is we'll see those who have gone before, who knew the Lord, and our relationship will be utterly perfect. No sin nature, cross words, rivalries, jealousies, none of that. All right? So that's the first thing. The second thing here is that man's attempt to create a global government is in reality the implementation of Satan's agenda to counterfeit God's prophetic program. That's why I showed you that first. That's what's happening now. But listen to me. If that's happening now and we can see how far it's gone, how close are we to seeing God's program also fulfilled? So what that's all about is Satan trying to take the place of man. This was the idea of the Antichrist ruling from the temple. We are living in the final days of the kingdom of man. As the insidious counterfeit to God's global government takes root and appears to progress, it's the last assertion of satanic and human will against God. So the great reset that's happening here, for the moment, seems to be slowed down, at least in our country and maybe around the world, by Donald Trump. And this is what he said at Davos. He's the world's biggest anti-globalist. He announced to the World Economic Forum that America's free and sovereign nation. It's now regulating immigration, reversing its woke and Green New Deal agenda, be leading the world in oil production and its American First policy, and charging the rest of the world for doing business with it. So let me say, and you can see Klaus Schwab's little face. Now that's a wonderful thing, and we don't know how long it will last, but we must remember this scripture. Thus says the Lord, curses the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Okay, that goes for the unbelievers who follow the globalist agenda. It also goes for us who follow any other human agenda, okay? And whose heart turns away from the Lord. Because ultimately, if our faith and hope is in man, it can't be in God. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. And so that is extremely important. So finally, as I conclude here, it says the fact that we see Satan's counterfeit agenda now being aggressively followed on a global scale means that we are nearing the time of Christ's return to fulfill God's prophetic program. And just some parting words. God has chosen us to live in this time before the end. He has given us a unique place in history before he calls his church home and unleashes his wrath upon the earth dwellers who oppose his coming kingdom and persecute his saints during the tribulation. Our time is a time of spiritual preparation and sounding the warning to the world of what is to come. We are the only ones who can expose and oppose the counterfeit globalism. May we recognize our special place and calling and work for Christ before the night falls on our age of grace. Normal is not coming back, but Jesus is. Yeah. Yeah. So as a final word, let me say, come to Jesus before Jesus comes.
Yeah.
All right? Amen. For you want more information on what we do, World of the Bible Ministries, worldofthebible.com, publications and things we have, books on our book table out here, all of that stuff is available to you, so come take a look. We do tours to Israel. We have one coming up in April, right there, okay? And we have brochures at our table. So you want to join some of the first people getting back to Israel after the war, come be part of that. All right, thank you. Sure.